Good day, listeners. We present to you our podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches. We discuss a variety of topics that are important to the church. Examples include sexual abuse, all types of addictions, religious abuse, and recovery. This platform provides counseling sessions, meaningful question and answer, and a counseling continuum. Our co-hosts include Ms. Lolita, Personnel Director, Mrs. Tennille, our Technical Director. We have an impressive array of program contributors. And I'm your host. My name is Prince, founder of Antioch Youth Center, 501(c)(3) program, licensed counselor, now retired. So join in this exciting podcast, Wounded Hearts, Wounded Churches, and be a part of the healing process. But tonight, a special guest, she was here last week, had some wonderful numbers. You who called in last week, thanks so much for that. It was excellent to have you all part of the broadcast. She's been saved 60 plus years, wife, mother, grandmother, mother of eight generations. I think there's been five now in her family there. Two sons, pastors, a nephew that's a pastor, a nephew that's a minister. And she's just glad to have her here tonight. Let's give her a hand to congratulate her. And friends, if you have questions tonight, please get them in early. This 25 minutes goes by pretty quick. You can call, you can email or text in. You can, our text number at Wounded Hearts is 1-866-538-3664. Again, that number to text in is 1-866-538-3664. Our counseling phone number for Wounded Hearts is 478-283-9093, 478-283-9093. You can email Wounded Hearts also, too. That email address for Wounded Hearts is reeechone@aol.com. Again, Wounded Hearts email is reeechone@aol.com. All right, let's go into our questions. You know, we've had some exciting questions the past month from our young folks calling in with their concerns. Been drawing on St. Anselm's questions to kind of connect and weed through those issues with people that are going through. We want to start those tonight. I'm sorry, may I interject this? Please.
Okay, I wanted to make sure after I thought about, I said how I had to apologize to my son and my mother. I wanted it to be known that I wasn't being critical of them. I was just offering advice when I should have just, when they weren't asking for it really. And we didn't have any fights or there was no hard feeling where we were concerned. It was something God showed me. We need wisdom. So I didn't want it to be a blight on me as being saved, but that's what he was showing me. And he's very wise. And if I ask for wisdom, he has helped me to learn how not to be critical and not to interject information when I don't have to. Just learn how to keep my mouth shut. And I have enjoyed that.
Praise the Lord. Amen. All right. I want to start with a question. Sister Cavett, now, you're talking to a mother tonight. They have unsaved children. You've had unsaved children. You had one daughter, church secretary, two pastors, both of those were. How did you win your children to Christ? What did you do? How did you do that? What was your, what advice would you give to mothers who have unsaved children?
Well, I could probably have done more, but I mainly was careful to keep them from being involved in things that the church did not, that was preached, and not only that it was preached, but I felt the same way. I mean, it wasn't like the church was telling me what to do, but they guide us through God. So different things that they weren't supposed to be involved in, I was careful not to allow them to be in them and go to the school and let them know. We had a Bible study, well, mostly on certain nights, on Saturdays particularly. They couldn't go outside until we had our devotions, and I tried to keep up with that. I tried to be there at all times, obey what the ministry was teaching, and help them to understand why. And anything questions they want to ask me, I allow them to ask me and answer them. I did not spend time talking about the saints. I did not run them down. I did not tell them what things were going on at the time. They would tell me, but I did not tell them, nor did I go along with a lot of things they were saying. So that's how I tried to do all I could as far as letting them love the church. And to this day, they love the saints.
Right, yeah.
And they're growing.
You know, you mentioned a lot of things there, but I do want to lift one out. You said that if the preacher was preaching, you would reinforce that in the home so they would not see two messages. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that way they wouldn't hear one thing and do something else in the home. Does that have an effect if they're hearing two things in the home or two messages?
Absolutely. And then they would find ways to go with their father. And I think I said this before, that if I tell you that it's wrong and you're not to do it, and you go to your dad and he allows you, I'm going to get you because you are playing the two against each other.
Yes.
So they knew that if they did that, they were going to be in trouble.
Wow. A lot going on already. Mm-hmm. Right. So, Sister DeKalvin, is consistency important in dealing with our young people? Is it being consistent? Is that key?
Absolutely. 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 And you yourself, you cannot grow up in the church, and I did.
Right.
And there were things that my dad kept me from.
Right.
I can't grow up. I can't let them grow up. And I still feel like my dad cheated me out of having a good time. I can't grow up with those feelings. Right. I've got to realize that, you know, what he did was for the best and he did a good job and all that. But to have that bitterness about what I couldn't go like the other children went and all that. And then, like with me, I sneaked to a dance. And so someone said, your dad's at the door. I said, my dad? He said, come on out. He came over to where I was.
What?
Yeah. And
what?
So then my mother, she somehow or other found out where I was going. And so later on, I said, you mean to tell me you told my dad that where I was? She said, I sure did. So she was the one that told on me. By them working together, that made me not resent the church like that.
Right.
I did not. I loved the saints, even when the divisions came and everything. There were people I still loved. If I saw them, I still loved them, and I did not feel like I had missed out in life or anything like that by them working together. And then they were very careful, and I tried to do that too. I, like my children, the days that I could, I would take them out to parks, let them go paddle boat riding. I would let them ride bikes, things that I could do for them to have exercise and do some of the things that they like. Now, I'm not saying they didn't sneak around and find ways to do other things, but basically, they were happy, you know, children and enjoyed life.
Sweet. Wow. Friends, you need to call in. Time is going away. I've got questions on questions now. You can text in at 1-866-538-3664. 1-866-538-3664. Sister DeKalvin, I was talking to a saint's child, and you mentioned he felt cheated that he couldn't do certain things in the church. And he went and got some counseling from some person and told him, they said, look, you have a mental problem. You can't do all those things. It's going to affect you mentally. And I think to this day, he still holds that he was cheated out of so much. I know several that feel like that. What is your advice to those who feel they feel I've been cheated out of doing this or that because of the church?
Go talk to some of the people that weren't cheated and see how their lives came out. You find a lot of these young people, they have messed their lives up. And my children come and tell me sometimes that, oh, so-and-so is so-and-so. And not only in the church, but just in life.
Life, yes.
And one of my children told me, said, "Well, Mom, I'm really glad you did." Said, by me being in church so much, she said, that kept me out of a lot of things.
Yes.
Had I been able to go out and do those, you know, with the others, no telling where I would be.
True.
When they got to the age where they could do what they wanted to, then it was their choice. But during those early years, God protected them, and He will do that. If we do our part, He'll do His part. But see, they're looking at it in the wrong way. When you're young, you don't need all that freedom. And if you look around and see what it has brought, you realize, I don't need that. I can't make the good, right decisions I need to make, all that. I need someone to guide me. Just like now I'm old, I need God to guide me. I needed Him from the time when I was able to make my own decision. I needed God to tell me. When I was at home, then my mother and father guided me. So under somebody's supervision to keep me from messing my life up, I do thank God for it. And I don't miss anything. And I never had. The things that I couldn't do, I did not feel cheated at all.
Amen.
One question was, I'm quoting, we were told the only people that are saved were in the Church of God pews. Only folks that were saved in the Church of God pews.
So. I mean, I try to understand why these things are so important when you're not even saved. I don't want to be unkind to them, and it's good for them to ask questions and all like that. But you got it right there in the Bible. He said, others I have. He said, but I'll bring them in. They're, like I said, when I got saved in the church I got saved in, it wasn't what it ought to be. But I got saved there, and my mother needed healing. She got healed there. Somebody was there to do it. And it's the same way with you. If you go ahead and get saved in these churches, God will lead you out, because it isn't full truth. But it doesn't mean that there's nobody in there that's saved. That doesn't mean that. Or somebody that can help you. But He will lead you to the Church of God. That is His church. It's just like He said, that's His bride.
Amen.
People that are saved and sanctified, His church.
Amen.
And you can make up other churches, and people do pretty good. But without sanctification, it's not going to be what it ought to be.
Any questions from our listeners?
Well, Mr. 313 said good advice. Good advice.
So, Kevin, another comment was, some have an issue with we use the King James Version. I heard that about 3 weeks ago, that they say other versions have different ideas and tendencies and proclivities. What is your thoughts on the Bible that we use?
That's our main book, mm-hmm. the King mm-hmm. James Version. The others come along. How can they change? I mean, they can look up in a dictionary and find different things that it says differently and all that. But it has to mean the very same thing that the King James Version. They all have to be, because it came from God, okay?
Right.
If it comes from God, how can it be all these different opinions? Right. It can't not be that.
And also, if I can chime in, I was witnessing to some guys last year. They were drunk, and they called me over, and they were kind of chiding me about the Bible. And the guy said, look, it's filled with inconsistencies. It's filled with different ideas. I said, well, have you read it through? And he said, no. I said, well, you're insulting me, because you're telling me some facts you don't even know about yourself. Read it through first. You read it? I said, yeah, I read it since for the past 15 years over and over again. So there are no inconsistencies if you read it through. It was, they said, well, King James was homosexual. He didn't write the Bible. They had 50 scholars that did it. These guys were Greek and Hebrew doctors who did it. He funded it, but that's all he had to do with it. So I agree. It's the word of God and it has to produce something. Our director had some words?
No, I just said he authorized the Bible. That's what King James authorized. You know, that's all it is.
Authorized. He just signed his name.
That's right.
Mr. Gavin, some believe that the churches are their political views. They don't agree with the political views of the church. Our political views, they don't agree with our political views in the church. What is your idea on that?
Okay. I mean, all these kind of things, this is not the issue. That's not what the Bible's about. The Bible is about God, Christ. God sent Christ to die for our sins so that we could live a sin-free life. We can get saved and forgiven, and then we can get sanctified and give our lives to God, and then he will chart our course from there on. There is no other issue about it. All this other stuff that you're bringing in, it doesn't mean. And I want you to know something.
Okay.
You try it. Like he said it, it works. How is it that somebody could go to the altar and get prayer, and they've been an alcoholic? And this is on, listen to Unshackled, because that's another church, okay? Listen to them. Those people are coming out saying that they got up and they never smoked again. They never drank again. You mean to tell me that they never lied again? They lived a sin-free life. You mean to tell me that a book that's written, there's all these inconsistencies, and yet it can work and do what it's supposed to do? You'll never convince me. If you go to a book, a recipe, and it's laid out for you, and you do it, everything, and it tastes good, then you're going to tell me that's inconsistent? Oh, no. All I need to do is follow the direction.
That's it.
Salvation works.
Amen.
I know. I went there that day, and I went up there, and when I left that church, I was a new creature. Never been the same. Yes, have I made mistakes? Yeah, but not like that. But I never gave up. I kept going, and I kept going to this day, over 60 years. So you can say whatever you want. It's inconsistent. It doesn't do this, and my parents didn't do that, and all that. But in the final analysis, try salvation in the right way. Really penitent, really sick of sin, and watch and see what God will do and how you can give yourself. I mean, that's where you're not doing. You still want to do a few of the things that you want to do. You can't do that in salvation. You've got to give it all, every single thing. No part of the world anymore. It's all over. When you do, I promise you, it works.
Any questions from our listeners?
I do have a comment from Mr. 313. She said, it seems when I have read other versions of the Bible, it changed the meaning.
Yeah.
And also, Larry Leland said, the King James Bible is the best Bible you can read.
That's it.
That's true. Mr. Cabin, you mentioned sanctification. Does that play a role in dealing with issues that come into our life?
Everything is just like marriage. When we commit ourselves to our husband and he commits himself to us, we are no longer in charge of ourselves like that.
Amen.
We are in charge. We are in charge of each other. So it is when we commit ourselves. We're the church of God. And that's not saying the name so much as saying, is that what God, that's what God calls us. We are his people. And so when we commit ourselves to him totally, that God, I will not do anything wrong. I will not, anything you tell me to do, I will do. I'll let you guide my life. I will not guide it the way I want to, but I am now yours altogether. In the same way in marriage, I will not go out with other men. I will not flirt around with other men. I am solely my husband, and that's it. And when you settle it like that with God, you will see what can be done within your life. But that is the whole problem. If you don't give it all, then carnality is enmity with God, because you have your way. I'm going to do it like this, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. But you haven't checked with God whether it's okay or not. And so then you're in contract. You're coming against him, what he really has for you to do. I want you to go to this congregation I don't want to move. I got a good job here, and I'm not going there. I can't help if the sermons are better or whatever. I am staying here. Okay, you stay there. But in the meantime, you're going to lose some ground and maybe end up losing out altogether.
Any questions from our director?
No, sir, not at the moment.
Mr. Kevin, I know from my studies that you, in a certain place growing up, the church you went through was some devastating division. I was not quite born yet, but when I came up in my early teens, I heard all about it, and I felt the rigors of it. How did you make it through all that without getting bitter? And how did you do that? What did you do to maintain your stability during those days?
My parents teaching me to love people and love the saint and not talk about them. And so I never realized even the seriousness of it. I know when my sister died, the saints would blame my dad because of something. He hadn't sinned, but something had happened in the church, and they felt like he should not have, come against it. And so they did not participate. They did not help my mother or comfort her anything. These are people that have been friends with them for years. When they called my dad, he acted like they hadn't done a thing to him. My mother, she did withdraw from the club because she felt like that, they didn't really want her around. But they did not treat those people bad or anything like that. They treated them, if they saw them, they treated them the same. And so that's the way I did. When I'd see them, I'd hug them and be glad to see them.
Amen. Any comments from our listeners?
Mary Flewellen said, thank God for you, Sister Kevin.
Friends, our time is gone again. It goes by so quick. I mean, it seems to go quicker every time we meet. I've talked to some of our listeners the past year. You've said to me that you're listening and looking, and you've been wounded, but we love you. That's why we're here. This is your program, and we're reaching out to you tonight. Sister Kevin, if someone's been hurt tonight, maybe they left the church, backslider, et cetera. Any advice to them tonight?
Yes, is to realize that you married Christ. You did not marry people. And so to turn your back on him is unfair to him. He never did anything to you. He never mistreated you. So find him. Go back to him and never leave him again. He's the best friend you'll ever have. He's the only one that you are going to be with eternally, that you will know who you're with. There'll be a lot of other people around. A lot of people won't make heaven. But him, will be there. And he's going to be with you now. So maybe you go 70 years and a hurt of whatever if you want to. But God can heal your hurt, really. Seek God. That's all I have. Salvation is the sweetest thing that mortal ever found. Sanctification is the sweetest thing. When you no longer have to worry about trying to chart your course, but go to God in prayer, and Lord, I don't know what to do, and then let him have it. Then you have peace. You can enjoy life. You can rest at night. It's perfect. It's a perfect plan. I don't know how to tell you, let you know how wonderful it is. He said, a wonderful Savior, Jesus my Lord. Sweeter are the days go by. This is those songs over and over again. He's telling you what a wonderful thing he has presented to you, and it's for you. But you're going to have tribulation through people. You're going to see people fail. You're going to see all that. But he will never forsake you, and he will never fail you, and he will never keep anything good from you that he knows will do you good.
I believe that, friends. So tonight, we love you. That's why we're here. We thank God for these encouraging words we've heard tonight. To our director, thank you again. Kevin, thank you again tonight. And to our listeners, glad you called in. And please call in again. May the Lord bless you. Have a good day.